Blog Talk Radio.
This week of a movie called The Carriers, which centers on a group of young adults who basically are fleeing from a virus pandemic. Also wanted to roll out here the video of the week from Survivors, our episode 8, Spoil of War. We'll talk about a little bit of that a little later. And also we'll start off right now with a little bit of news about the road. Obviously, we've been talking over the last couple of weeks about the disappointment of the initial release of the limited release on November 25th, which basically, you know, two dozen cities initially the movie was released at. And my low complaint was basically the nearest move to me was in Atlanta, Georgia, which I'd have to say I was over, up until last week. Was actually planning on heading down there. Now, it's about a 2.5-hour drive. It's not that bad, but it's not that close either. You know, we're talking about 5 hours altogether there and back. So, you know, it would have been definitely a whole day involved, plus, you know, seeing the movie. You know, I wasn't very, thrilled about that. But last week we learned that the Weinstein Corporation has decided to go ahead and release the film a little bit to a wider audience or to more theaters. And there is a complete list. I'll have to put that up on my website. I'll try to do that here tonight. So if you want to go over to Blogspot, that's the Aftermath, www.theaftermathshow.blogspot.com. You can see a full list of theaters that are opening up on December 18th. But anyhow, in my area, which is, I've said before, I live in Columbia, South Carolina. In my area, it's going to open up in Charleston, South Carolina, Spartanburg, South Carolina, and Charlotte, North Carolina. But actually, where I'm somewhat located, yeah, actually Charlotte's going to be actually closer than the other two theaters. And so I plan on going up to Charlotte, perhaps most likely this Saturday. It's about roughly about 1 hour and 10 minute drive, so that's not really too bad. The only thing I just Columbia is not a very large city. Actually, it's probably a medium small city, but as far as population wise, I could see where it seems like they put this movie. Well, I don't know the the logistics or the reasoning behind opening up in Spartanburg area, which is north South Carolina. Obviously, I guess you look at that area though as a region up there going up towards North Carolina. So most likely that's their reasoning for going to Spartanburg. But obviously we with the opening up in Charlotte, it's only like I said about 1 hour and 10 minute drive. So it's not too bad. I've already looked on there, and it shows show times for about 2 p.m., 4 p.m., and a couple other times of the day. So the only interesting thing I noticed when I looked at the theater, and I've never been there before, it only shows roughly two movies playing at the theater. So I don't know if this is a artsy art house type theater up there. I don't know really the details, but You know, I don't think it's it doesn't seem to be one of those, you know, megaplexes that we're so used to seeing, you know, in our local neighborhoods. But you know, the big thing, I guess, the news here is obviously, like I said, that it's going to be opening to a wider area of theaters. So probably most likely, if you take a look at the list, like I said before, if you go to www.theaftermathshow.blogspot.com, or you can go over to the road, the IMDb over there, and actually, I don't think there's actually a posted list of that. There is, but you'd have to really look for it. So, but it looks like it's opening up in a lot of different. What you know, I'm talking about Charlotte here, and these are medium cities. It looks like you know, we're talking, you know, anywhere like, well, I don't want to start spreading out cities like Birmingham and say like Boulder, Colorado, or someplace like that, or Albuquerque, New Mexico, which I'm familiar with, which is kind of a medium-sized market. But I think you're going to see a lot more of at least film showing in a lot more different places. Whereas a lot of the arguments, a lot of especially people in Ohio, places like in Cleveland and Cincinnati, a lot of those people were posting over the last past month about how disappointed they were and frustrated that in some of those cities, you're talking a couple of million people, I believe, in just Cleveland alone, and not one theater was showing, you know, premiering the film back on November 25th. So I think that's going to change here on December 18th here, this coming Friday. So that's welcoming news here, obviously, and can't say I've ever been more thrilled or at least anticipating to see something, especially on this genre, the post-apocalyptic genre. They have to go travel to go see it. So, obviously, you know, read the book a couple times already. I've been, you know, waiting just like most people who been really kind of wanting to see the film. I mean, it's been delayed, obviously, for about a year and a half. It was initially supposed to come out back in 2008, and here it is December 2009. So, now there's obviously a lot of speculation that the reason why the Weinstein Company went in limited releases that they think it may have Oscar contention. This is just a pattern or a strategy in order to roll the film out slowly and gather some momentum going into the Academy Awards. But that's a lot of speculation here as far as what people are talking about for the Weinstein's perspective on why they chose to go with the limited release. But other than that, I mean, the film only cost $20 million to film. If they would put this out there, you know, to a wider release, you know, I don't know the logistics as far as, you know, how much it would cost as far as their overhead to go ahead and put the film out to more theaters. But it just seems like to me they would have gained a lot more money in receipts by doing that early than just doing this slow kind of rollout release that we're seeing right now. So we'll just have to wait and see. There are a lot of different opinions on the movie. Some are really I think the one thing that seems to be apparent is the faithfulness of the movie is to the book, and that Joe Penhall, the person who did the screenplay of the movie, seems to have made sure that all the, you know, feelings and the way the journey unfolds as far as in the book is pretty much shown in the movie also. So that'll be quite interesting. And also, it was kind of interesting that somebody had there'd been a lot of talk also about the infamous scene where the baby is basically they call it, you know, the baby on the baby on the spit on the scene or in actually that scene actually by John Hillcoat basically has been filmed and I read that in an interview with him that he fought very hard that he wanted to be so faithful to the book that he wanted to make sure that was actually in the film. So he filmed that scene from my understanding, but when it came into the final editing, that scene was taken out. So, you know, I'd speculate down the road when the road is put out on DVD release, we'll probably most likely get a director's cut, an unrated version or something along those lines. And we'll probably see that particular scene which happens really much later, you know, in as far as the storyline of the book and the movie. It's kind of a shocking moment there. It's kind of like the last throw, ultimate, you know, scene or you know, that you see and read. That you see the, basically how far down you know, humans have basically devolved basically into. So, but obviously there's other scenes in the book that I've talked about here. The cellar scene, which is in the movie. So quite anticipating to take a look at, see this this coming weekend, and obviously the show before Christmas will be the 22nd. So most likely I'll do a special road post review here for the Aftermath show. And it's been a long time waiting, so look forward to probably opening that up for about an hour on next Tuesday, the 22nd. All right, the next bit of news, really, well, not news, actually. You know, the last week we've had Terminator Salvation, which, you know, I found, actually, I've given it, you know, above average. I said it's pretty good. Moving, I don't agree with some of the critics, and some of them, you know, kind of, you know, chastise it for the storyline. I was kind of thought of refreshing that it went from the streets of L.A. running around looking, you know, basically robot hunting, you know, Connor through different scenarios, but definitely, this chasing young Connor or you know, the mother through the deserts and whatnot in the cities of L.A. And then this was just refreshing in that, you know, setting, you know, afterwards. When you see Skynet, you see the human resistance, you see all the things that you got glimpses of in Terminator 2 and Terminator 3, and basically you often, you know, if you watch the franchise, you know, well, they keep bringing, you know, back people to change, you know, the history, or basically change, you know, Skynet, the robots, or seeing the Terminator to terminate the Connor, or the, you know, he's a resistant leader. Obviously, John Connor in the future sending back Reese basically to, you know, meet his mother and such, and the story, you know, on and on. But, you know, this was refreshing in the sense that at least it was set in that time period. So, but I just, the visuals were just awesome. I thought McGee did a great job. I thought that, you know, his expertise in the Transformer movies and how, you know, the special effects turned out for that, and you kind of meld that with the Terminator franchise, or, you know, with the robots and all and such, I think it was a great fit, and I just thought it was a pretty good movie. I admit that some of the storyline probably not some of the it was most interesting. I'll put it, that's the best way to put it. Maybe it wasn't the most interesting storyline. It could have been a little bit more interesting, a little bit more refreshing as far as having a John Connor, you know, more inspirational, you know, type of maybe movie, because obviously the plot's basically set in, you know, the post-apocalyptic Earth, where Skynet is basically, you know, is hunting down the rest remaining, you know, humans. So yeah, there is a little bit of that in the movie, maybe not as intense, and it doesn't come out as much, but overall, I still found it a pretty good film, so I definitely would recommend that. Also, I think what was more interesting was Carriers. Now, Carriers came out, I believe, I'm not sure, it actually came out this Tuesday or last Tuesday, but it's come out here this very recently, and I thought that it basically was, well, actually it was released on December 8th, so yeah, that was actually last Tuesday, but I initially had read a little bit and heard some on the movie over the last year. This movie was actually was filmed back in completed back in 2007, so it was 2 years ago. But Paramount or Paramount Vantage actually screened the movie back then and has basically put it on the shelf up until right now. So there was a lot of speculation. You know, this movie, you know, probably not, you know, the speculation probably wasn't that good. You know, it would be screening. It must have got pretty negative reviews, or at least it didn't show well with the limited, you know, release that it had, or the screening, I mean, back in 2007. So, you know, going into this, looking at it, you know, I'd say this is another movie kind of had low expectations about. You know, also, as far as the film goes, there's so many there's so many different films out here lately, especially, you know, with the whole swine flu epidemic, the pandemic, and the, you know, in the reality, in the real world. And there's a lot of movies out in the last couple of years revolving around different movies revolving in that part of the genre. And I really wasn't really sure what, as far as when this movie came out, what to expect when I picked it up Tuesday. My expectations, I think, were a little bit different as far as where the setting was, what I expected some of the characters would be. And I think that if you pick this movie up and you don't have the premise of the movie or realize what you're you know, watching, you may see some, you may have some negativity towards it. But initially, you know, I went over just to take a quick glimpse. I looked, because I went and picked this up at the video store. I didn't realize it had been out yet. And by the time I got home, I went and just looked online. And I just looked, usually I got Rotten Tomatoes just to kind of see what the score is over there. But I just checked over Yahoo, and there were probably just no more than about, I think it was 127, roughly a little less than 200 reviews. And as you know, if you looked at reviews over there, you know, usually there's over 1,000 or so. So, you know, initially I said, well, there's, it did have a B-plus average on it, so it's very high. But I read through some of the reviews, and seemed like a lot of people loved it. There was people who loved it, they'd seen it. There's a lot of people, though, and you realize this when you look at any of the reviews that you got, there's a lot of people who just don't even see the movie. They just put up stuff. They just grade the movies. You may have some negativity towards it. But initially, you know, I went over just to take a quick glimpse. I looked, because I went and picked this up at the video store. I didn't realize it had been out yet. And by the time I got home, I went and just looked online. And I just looked, usually I got Rotten Tomatoes just to kind of see what the score is over there. But I just checked over Yahoo, and there were probably just no more than, about, I think it was 127, roughly a little less than 200 reviews. And as you know, if you looked at reviews over there, you know, usually there's over 1,000 or so. So, you know, initially I said, well, there's, it did have a B-plus average on it, so it's very high. I read through some of the reviews, and seemed like a lot of people loved it. There was people who loved it, they'd seen it. There's a lot of people, though, and you realize this when you look at any of the reviews that you got, there's a lot of people who just don't even see the movie. They just put up stuff. They just grade the movies just to either create buzz, or maybe they just take the premise of it, so they grade it for whatever. And there were some reviews that you know, indicated, or at least I could, you know, maybe they had seen the movie. From those, it seemed like most of those people didn't understand or realize what the movie was really about before they went to see it. So, you know, but after seeing it, you know, my own perspective, I thought it was, I would say, at least above average. It was pretty good. It wasn't great. It's not a bad movie, you know, but it's not a, it's, you know, it's pretty good. It's pretty average. You know, it's worth seeing, let's put it that way. You know, it's not, there's a lot of movies I've seen in the last couple of years where, you know, I've gotten to just 15, 20 minutes in the movie, and I just fast forward. And if I get to one of those movies where I just fast forward right to the end, then, and a good example of that was the 2000, I don't mean to pick on it, but the 2008, or yeah, I think it was 2008, Day of the Dead, which, thank, you know, Romero had no contribution in that movie. It was by the production company that owns rights to the Dead franchise, but they put together, that was the worst movie I think I've ever seen, worst Dead movie I'd ever seen. The storyline, the character, that was horrible. It was one of the few movies I could ever remember that, like I said, I only could get like 15, 20 minutes into it, and the rest of it I watched it in fast forward, and thank God I did. But this film here, I didn't have that problem with. It's a pretty interesting premise to it. And in some ways, some people may, when they say Carriers, not sure if it's, you know, a post-apocalyptic or is an apocalyptic movie. I would say this definitely classifies as post-apocalyptic because it takes place apparently weeks after a major deadly virus pandemic. There's indications in there, especially from Chris Pine. Chris Pine is in this movie. He's the, one of the main characters. Obviously, he plays the new Tiberius Kirk in the new remake version of Star Trek. He plays the role as Brian. You have a group of people basically that are fleeing the pandemic, and as I said, it's a couple weeks later. But what I was about to say, the main character, Chris Pine, indicates, or Brian indicates, the character, that in one of the stadiums of the city that he was at, he participated in mass graves, basically burying the dead, and in some descriptions, some of them weren't dead. But that just gives you an indication, or at least a little timeline, at least, that what you're seeing right in the movie is definitely weeks after, or a few, you know, few weeks after the major height of the pandemic. So this, you know, and as the movie goes through, you quickly realize that you're basically looking at the remnants of the pandemic. I mean, what you see, what's left, and even for some, there's a few survivors that seem that are just that, you know, that maybe the disease has just gotten to, but for the most part, you can tell the virus has basically hit pretty much every corner of the United States, or you know, or the region. So it's definitely a post-apocalyptic film. I would definitely classify it as that. The film basically premise is that you have a young group of young adults. It's two pairs of it's one character is Brian, that's played by Chris Pine. His girlfriend is Bobby, played by Piper Parabo. There's the character Danny, played by Lou Taylor Pucci, and Kate's girlfriend Emily Van Camp. But the four of them basically are traveling down the highways. You see initially when the film opens up, and they're traveling to the beach, and the beach is an isolated beach or an abandoned hotel there along the beach, which they're looking for and or want to get to. It's kind of a spot that both Danny and Brian, basically their brothers, had visited with their parents at this vacation spot along the California coast, and they're basically figuring to they can get there and basically hold up and let the last remnants part of the epidemic kind of pass by, or at least maybe even somebody will come up with a vaccination or serum of some kind. And that's kind of, you know, if you don't really know, you know, the film constantly focuses on the group itself and traveling down, you know, the highway they're heading down to get to the beach. But it's basically what it boils down to is this group, although they're fleeing from this deadly virus and also trying to stay away from survivors, what it boils down to is what happens when one of the members or other members of the group basically become infected, and what's their reaction, how they react to them, you know, and how you know, do you isolate, you know, if it's your girlfriend, your wife, or your brother, or friend, whatnot, or strangers, I mean, do you isolate them? Do you, you know, show some kind of compassion in that sense, and just hope that, you know, they do use precautions in the film. You see them constantly with bleach and Clorox, masks on, rubber gloves and such. And obviously the virus is not airborne. Apparently it's only spread bodily fluids, blood, such. So, if, as long as you can keep some barrier between you and the infected and the area that you're in clean, you have a pretty good chance of not, you know, contracting the virus. So, I mean, the decision comes down to how do you treat, you know, other people? Do you isolate them in such a way, but, you know, you don't, and try to keep them alive or keep any hope alive for them to, you know, get some kind of find some kind of maybe cure or somehow, you know, they can run into somebody or some group or something that that could help them. But and also the main thing is how they react to the, you know, among their group, their friends and their brother, if somebody also contracts disease, the virus. So it gets kind of interesting, especially there towards the end. And you know, for that part, as I said, I think it, you know, I thought it was pretty good. Like I said, I came in with kind of somewhat low expectations. I wasn't sure either the premise of the movie. So I was especially surprised to see where it was as far as you know, seeing this group basically fleeing, you know, from this major pandemic, versus say, you know, some setting at some hospital in some metropolitan city, and everybody, you know, you're watching a fake kind of, in this episode, somebody they run into basically has some farm experience and has some knowledge in agriculture. So you kind of see one of the new characters kind of introduced in this episode. This also brings about another new character, not a new character, but another character called Vic, which we saw back in episode 2, who, if you remember, was left behind in the quarry. When Kate, I believe her name, that was her name, Kate character, left him for dead because he had broken his legs and she didn't think he could care for her anymore, but she left him there for dead. They actually, in this episode, are basically, they send out Tom and Barney to head to the quarry to pick up a lot of the supplies that are there. And they find unexpectedly Vic is still alive and basically protecting all the goods there, he's basically loaded down with shotguns and all kind of firearms. So it's a pretty interesting little episode called Spoil of War. You can find that, obviously. You can go right there to Blog Talk Radio. You can see the first part there, the link there for the Aftermath channel at YouTube. You can find it there. You can also go to the aftermathshow.blogspot.com. You can find the link there to YouTube and all other all 8 episodes listed there. Again, each episode is broken down in 6 parts, so you can just, in each part is roughly about a little over 8 minutes. In the total, each episode is about 45 minutes long, and you can catch that there. Next week, obviously, I'll put up episode 9. This is called Law and Order. This is probably one of the most talked about episodes as far as the series. Of the whole 3 series, this is probably one of the most popular ones, and it's popular because it's probably the most intense storyline. The acting in it is pretty darn good, and it's kind of just give you a little premise for it. The group has to deal with a murder, and basically the aftermath of that murder. And one of their survivors, what do they do with the person who committed the murder? Obviously, when you have a situation where you have only so many people and every person is important in the group, but decisions have to be made. You know, law and order, you know, justice has to be carried out. And what that justice is pretty interesting. You'll find that out in the next episode. Again, that's Law and Order. As I said last week, these episodes are put up on a Sunday. You don't have to wait till Tuesday for the show. Here at Blog Talk Radio, you can go ahead to the YouTube channel and you'll find that up there, but at least by Sunday evening. I'll post the next episode up there. So definitely check that out this coming Sunday. That's the Survivors. Again, Carriers, definitely recommend it. I definitely would check it out. I thought it's worth seeing. That's obviously my perspective in it. I wouldn't say it's a bad movie. It's not a great movie, but it's definitely worth checking out. And obviously, The Road, if you're in a city that hasn't opened up yet, check back on my webpage there at blogspot.com, aftermath.blogspot.com. Hopefully, I'll have the list up of the total cities that the wider release will be opening up December 18th. I appreciate you listening to the Aftermath Show. This show is Will Coy. I'll see you again next Tuesday, the 22nd. We'll talk all about The Road. You have a good day.